This is the second lesson in our six-week series, Living with Hope in a Broken World. And as I mentioned last week, people place their hope in many, many things. But if they're the things of the world, it's a hope-so hope. They hope that it will work out, but there is nothing certain surrounding the things of the world. And the point of these lessons is that if we place our hope in God, it's a no-so hope. It's a certain hope. Last week, we talked about the basis of our hope. And, of course, the basis of our hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we sing about that every time we sing the song, The Solid Rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. This week, the expression of our hope. How do we live it out? How do we live it, the hope that we have in this world? Our hope that we have based on Christ should change our perspective in how we live in our world. And it's not about what the world thinks is important. You probably read in the lesson that little phrase, he that dies with the most toys wins. And that's the attitude that some people have. But that's not the truth. It's about keeping Christ at the center of everything and how we love and serve him and how we love and serve others. So this is a very practical lesson. Peter writes again to the folks in what we know as Turkey today, and he's given some very practical advice on how to live in this world. And so, Brother Bill, I want you to come and share the word with us this morning.
Welcome to God's house. The peace of the Lord abounds here. I wish you a blessed day and a blessed week. We are off to a good start. Woke up this morning, looked outside, not a cloud in the sky. Not a cloud in the sky, because I have Jesus in my heart. Amen. I have Jesus in my life. Pastor was just talking about toys. Boy, I had them. I had them. Had a nice big tractor. Had a bobcat. Had a boat. Pontoon, fishing boat, motor. Sold all that, moved down here to heaven. I don't miss it. Well, I miss it, but my life is complete because I have Jesus in my heart. Amen. There's always joy when we share the light of God's word and contemplate his gift of eternal salvation to us through the love of Jesus Christ. May God grant that we are anointed by the Holy Spirit and have this lesson touch us all in a glorious way as we strive to be more like Jesus in our daily walk. May God present us with opportunities this week to share his word and blessings with someone in need of his touch. Lord, provide us with whatever we stand in need of to boldly share the gospel with the lost soul. Let your blessings flow and let revival start here. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you today with a joyful heart. We're so happy to be in your house, this house of prayer. This house of hope, this house where the Holy Spirit resides. We thank you so much for that, Lord. We are in a troubled world, but Lord, we're not troubled. We have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us, to lead us in the direction that he wants us to go. Help us each day in every way to be more like Jesus. Now, Jesus, be with us as we study thy word. Help us to write it on our hearts and put it in our daily walk. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Now, last week, I told you a little fib. I told you I would come back to where Peter wrote this epistle. Because in the Bible, in the verses we read, I'll read it again. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. And this is actually Mark, the apostle. I need to clarify that verse right there, because this verse, this epistle, was probably written in Rome. And it's not actually a fib, but it's a code word. Babylon was known for its evil. But then if we look at Revelation 17:5, we see where John wrote about Babylon as being the house of evil, and clearly he was speaking about Rome. In Revelation 17:5 and 18, and upon her forehead, talking about the city, upon her forehead was a name written. And in my Bible, this is all written in capital letters. So it really draws your attention to that verse. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Revelation 17:18. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now that is certainly a reference to Rome. The remainder of chapter 17 in Revelation makes it plain that the city that they're talking about and calling Babylon was Rome. Remember, this was the time of Nero's persecution, and Christians had to be careful of how they wrote or spoke about the vengeful government of Rome. So they used code words. Babylon, in this context, is widely accepted as being Rome. Another piece of evidence for this view is that Mark was known to be in Rome at the time this scripture was written. The lesson today is entitled, The Expression of Hope. The point of the lesson is, our hope in Christ our hope in Christ changes how we view the world and live in it. God changes lives. God changes our heart. God changes us. Please turn in your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1, 13 to 25 for our scripture reading today. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And if you call on the Father, I'm on verse 16. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, do we believe in God, who by him, by Jesus, we believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Being ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This whole verse refers to the preparation for the second coming of Christ at the end times. Gird up the loins of your mind. To gird up is to get ready. And in this case, it's referring to prepare your mind for Jesus, to be worthy of him and his return. Be sober means to be alert with a clear mind, not fuzzy-headed and without all of your faculties, but means to be alert with a clear mind that is focused on the gospel and not on the desires of self. Hope to the end for the grace by living fully without wavering. Hope to the end for the grace that abounds. Do not waver. And the revelation that Jesus will bring at his second coming, all of God's promises will be fulfilled and it will be made clear to all. But what about those who have died before Christ's return? It all applies. When Jesus comes again, the dead in Christ shall rise first and meet him in the air. They will arise from their graves incorruptible form and meet Christ in the clouds. Then the believers still alive will be called out and meet Christ in the clouds. Glory to God. What a day that will be. Amen. As obedient children, verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Without Jesus, you can do some pretty terrible things. You can really go astray with the desires of this carnal self. But as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the lust of your ignorance, with a pure heart. That comes from knowing Jesus Christ. He has wiped your soul clean of sin, spotless as the snow. And God can view you because Jesus took away your sins. We are instructed to live as obedient children. You know any of those? I do, and they're a joy to the heart. And that's what God thinks when we are obedient to his word, to be ready to join Christ. We must follow the teachings of the gospel. We must believe in the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. And not fashioning. That means not following our former carnal life. Not living that terrible life. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you haven't changed since you came to know Jesus Christ, you better get on your knees. Because God changes lives and completes you and makes you not fear this pandemic, not fear the riots that are going on, not fear the evils of the day. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You should be an example to everybody. You should be an example to the lost. That's what God can do for you. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. You have been called to God, and now he wants you to become holy. You don't become holy to get to God. You become holy after you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and he transforms your life. For be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Now this means to be holy in all that you do. Not just what you say, but what you say, what you do, what you feel, what you act like. Be ye holy. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And that's verse 16. I'll read a little in Leviticus chapter 11. 44 and 45. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves. See, it's not all over when you just say, Jesus Christ, I accept you as my personal Savior. Now you got to try and strive to be like Jesus. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to fill the commandment he gave us in Matthew 28. Go forth and teach. Bring in the lost souls. Don't have the feeling of joy and just keep it. You know, there's a verse in the Bible. It says, I'm like an old skin that you put new wine in. If I don't vent, I'm going to burst. And that's so true. That is so true. If you have the love of Jesus in you, you've got to let it out. You've got to share it. And that is what God is commanding us to do. I am the Lord thy God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now that's referring to Satan. Don't do anything that Satan would have you do. You're free from Satan by accepting Jesus Christ. If you lean on him, he will protect you from Satan. This command comes directly from God, and Peter repeats it to us. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. When we call upon God, and God expects us to call on him, because we are his children. You as parents and grandparents would get pretty upset if your children never called on you. God wants to hear from you. He impatiently treats all his children as equals. Doesn't matter if you're a millionaire or how much money you put in the church. It doesn't matter. We are all treated equally as we treat our own children. We love them all. And the more we have, the more we love. God is only concerned with our daily walk. Strive to be more like Jesus. And when it says pass the time, this is how you conduct yourself, how you live. That's how you pass the time. And clearly, Peter is telling us to live like Jesus. Sojourning. Now that refers to residing as a stranger, living, like a stranger, dwelling in a strange land. We're just passing through life. It's only temporary. We are striving for that eternal life in the arms of Jesus. Boy, you think today's a good day? Wait till we get there. Wait till we live in that mansion that God has prepared for us in heaven. And then fear is referred to in this verse. Remember, God will hold us responsible for our conduct and wants us to be righteous and holy. We must respect and honor his sovereignty over us. Now, we have a Bible, and in this holy book tells us how to live, tells us the meaning of life for us. And I hear people all the time contradicting the Bible. Contradicting the Bible. God is sovereign. He put those words in that book for a reason. Not for you to change them. How often have you heard, "Oh, I believe we have a God of love. I believe we have a just God. And I don't think God would send me to hell for this particular sin. I don't think God would do that." I think you start thinking like that and you're heading straight to hell. Because you're in rebellion to God's word when you do that. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Now, here's Peter speaking to the Jews. Nobody receives redemption from the corruptible things of the world, the vain conversation received by your forefathers, and nor from the law and the traditions held by their fathers. Nobody receives redemption by that. But we know redemption comes from Jesus Christ. Amen. The Gentiles did not even have the law that gave knowledge of the one true God. That's a step the Jews had ahead of on us. They had knowledge of the one true God, but the Gentiles didn't even have that. And their existence was empty, and they were lost. And you can see the lost wandering around in this country today. It's displayed on your TVs every day. Their existence is empty and they're lost. And it will not be filled by the corruptible treasures of this world. but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Ye are redeemed from the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish and without spot. An innocent man, the perfect man, went to the cross and suffered the pain of a man for your sins. Oh, Lord, I feel so guilty every time I even think of that. And I lived a guilty life until I found Jesus. And I find, as Paul said, it's a race. It's not a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon. And the marathon is called life. And we should draw closer to God every day, every way we can. Ye are redeemed. Verses 18 and 19 are the heart of this epistle. Peter has been building for this moment. Write these verses on your heart and live with the comfort that Christ died in purity without blemish that you may have eternal life. Amen. Hebrews 9, 14 through 16 and verse 24 and 28. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, under the law, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. Jesus died on the cross. His blood was shed to shield our sins from God. And we are the heirs of Jesus Christ. We are the heirs of Jesus Christ. In God's eyes, we're without blemish because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but unto heaven itself. Now do appear in the presence of God for us. He is our representative to God for us, that we may change our life and have eternal life. Now back to 1 Peter verse 20. Who, talking about Jesus, verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. God plan for Jesus to be the Redeemer from the beginning of the world. In the last times, now don't confuse this with the end times. The last times start with the birth of Jesus Christ, and God began to make his plan obvious to the world. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning of the world, was the Word. And the Word was with God. Christ was on the throne, sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus was there for it all. He was part of it. He witnessed it. He knew what was coming. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. Jesus is our light. We would be lost like those in the dark without Jesus. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Many are called, but few are chosen. 1 Peter, verse 21. Who by him, who by Jesus, him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. We studied this earlier. God raised Jesus from the dead. We had witnesses that he was raised from the dead. We have proof that he was raised from the dead. And God gave him that glory that we may believe in him. We have proof of his resurrection. Acts 2:32 and 33. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Hundreds saw Jesus Christ after he was crucified. Hundreds saw him walk the earth. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. We know God through our faith. This is the basis of our hope. Verse 22 in 1 Peter. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. That is more than being an acquaintance. That is having a deep feeling for your brethren. Ye have purified your souls. You have purified your souls by obeying the truth of the Gospels with the aid and the direction of the Holy Spirit and a real sincere love for your fellow Christians. You must continue that course and have a pure heart that loves fervently. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, not the corruptible seed of man, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. He was talking to Christians. They're born again. They're already saved. And he said corruptible seed would have been from man and would decay. They would wither like the beautiful flowers that we're seeing now. Their glory is short. It withers away. Corruptible seed comes from man. It passes away. But incorruptible would be seed from God, and imperishable, indestructible, and eternal. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower therefore thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Amen. And it is unchangeable. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. God's word, unlike flesh, is eternal. It's eternal and it's complete in the Bible. Our task is to follow it in obedience and faith, which is our eternal hope. Our hope in Christ changes how we view the world and live in it. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much about your word. We try to live it. We strive to be perfect like Jesus. Lord, we just thank you so much for his example. We thank you so much for his fervent love that caused him to die on the cross, that we may have liberty and that we may have the standing hope of eternal life with Jesus. Oh, Lord, what joy we face. What joy we have in this world. I would hate to think of going through the terrible times that we're in right now and not have Jesus in my heart, not have Jesus in my mind, knowing where I'm going. And Lord, we just pray that a revival would start here, sweep through this community, through this nation, and once again, we would have a nation under God and stop this self, stop this bitterness, stop this pandemic, and grant all of us peace on this earth and eternally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Next week, the testimony of our hope. The scripture is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 15. I'm looking forward to it. God bless.